still good to do strength exercises, and it is very important to do also strength, some strength exercises. But we also got into, yes, aerobic capacity. Now, as our view of fitness changed, so did our exercises. It went from doing strength exercises to doing walking, running, swimming, cardiovascular exercise to develop our aerobic capacity. And we thought, that's it. Now we really understand fitness, but we don't yet. We're going to still go deeper into the body. Fitness is going to become the ability to have balanced energies flowing through the body, relaxation and suppleness and ease, the ability to release tension and stress will have an even more profound impact on what fitness really is and longevity. So our exercises will begin to change. Instead of just running or swimming or walking or doing strength, it's going to also incorporate relaxation, stretching, more yoga, tai chi, and meditation as a fitness exercise. It does other things too. If you sit every day very quietly with a good posture and breathing, you also tend to open up channels to creativity. You open channels to the subconscious. One good way. You start getting ideas and all kinds of things come in. That's not the purpose of meditation ultimately, but those are side benefits. You break down the wall between dreaming and waking. You start to notice things of a more subtle nature. You start to get to know the subconscious. There's a regular process I describe in another book called No Ordinary Moments, and on another Nightingale Conant program, Practical Wisdom. But that talks about process that you go deeper and deeper, conscious to the subconscious, to a quiet space. It's only quiet, not because the thoughts stop, but because your attention goes somewhere else. And that brings us to a very important point. Meditation isn't the one answer to life. It's simply a useful exercise. We put it up on a pedestal, like it's the one holy exercise that's going to be answers to everything. But I know a lot of friends who meditate a great deal, and they're broke. Their money issues are just all over the place. They go, oh, car broke, I better meditate some more. So it's not enough. It's one aspect of life. It's a useful practice. In fact, the primary benefit of meditation, and it's not discussed too much, is as a practice of enlightenment. When you can do it sitting, you can learn to do it walking around and moving. In order to convey this, I need to express something that's kind of difficult to express. There are two levels of reality, the conventional level and the transcendental level. Now, let me draw a metaphor. Isn't it true that spiders are bloodthirsty, vicious, merciless killers from the viewpoint of a fly? From our viewpoint, they might be lovely, aesthetic, fascinating creatures and relatively harmless for the most part. So both those things are true. Spiders are killers, merciless. From a fly's viewpoint, from ours, a different truth operates. In the same way, there are conventional truths that are true. For example, who would deny someone who has lost a loved one, a child or a loved one, a spouse, they've died, that death is tragic, is sad, is painful? Nobody would deny that who has experienced it, someone close to you. Yet from a transcendental viewpoint, death is an illusion. Complete illusion. Doesn't exist. Everybody who's had an illumination, insight, and vision, they go, death is, what is it? It's just a change. Both are true, but it depends on what level you're looking at. The reason I mention this is because there are transcendental truths, and when you sit down to meditate, you take a look at this truth, we are one. Are we one? You've heard this, right? We are all one. One family, one body, one consciousness. Well, I'll tell you, if I stub my toe, does it hurt you? I don't think so. So physically we're not one. If I have a certain emotion, do you have the same one necessarily? No. How about if I have a thought? Do you have the same thought? I doubt it. So physically, mentally, emotionally, we're not one. We're separate. We're separate. So what is this saying, we are one? Maybe that's a transcendental truth. Maybe when you sit down to meditate, what are you doing? You're watching your thoughts. You're watching your body. Aches and pains, imbalances. You're watching your thoughts. You're watching your emotions. You're not your emotions. You're not your thoughts. You're just watching them. You may watch your soul. You may watch your higher self at times. What you become is pure awareness. Is it possible, sitting here together, is it possible in this moment we are exactly the same awareness shining through all these different eyes? The same consciousness we sometimes call God. Wow. That's why meditation is useful, because you get to practice becoming pure awareness and transcending the world. That is the primary use of meditation, not just getting more creative or watching your thoughts or trying to quiet your mind. In fact, you can't quiet the mind. The mind's always bubbling. Let's get a little more controversial now, okay? When I suggest to you, you have absolutely no control over your thoughts. No control over your thoughts. Therefore, didn't we already agree you have no responsibility for what you can't control? Therefore, you have no responsibility for any negative, petty, jealous, nasty thoughts you ever think again. But you may disagree. You may say, no, wait a minute, Dan, I can control my thoughts. I've snapped out of it. I've had bad thoughts and stopped having them. Well, let me suggest that thoughts come up and thoughts go. You can influence your thoughts by changing your environment, by distracting yourself, by even making a different picture in your mind. You can make an apple right in your mind, but can you directly control your thoughts, the thoughts that come into your mind and leave? Do you think a thought before you think it? Do you say, I think I'll think this thought next? I don't think so. If you're obsessed about something, and we've all been obsessed about things, really worried, really concerned, you know, can't stop thinking about it, can you go, okay, I'm just going to stop thinking about that now? Maybe you can distract yourself, but it comes back, doesn't it? Think about it. I'm not asking you to agree, but consider that you have virtually no control by willing a thought to change. For example, please, for a moment, control your mind. Do not think of elephants. Okay? Don't think of elephants now. Don't. You see,